From the heart of Europe to the world, this is RTI.
EW to his friends, Eric Wiltshire.
Welcome to Postcard from Poprad on a glorious sunny day here in East Slovakia in the town of Poprad. With me, Eric Wiltshire, as I drove to work this morning, there was snow on the mountains. It looks beautiful. Far better than one of my cohorts who lives in not good Britannia. Lee Banks.
Yes, here I am, ladies and gentlemen, in good old Blighty, the land that cares for everybody but its own, the land that claims to be hooked on fair play, the land that steals from the mouths of its babies and its grandparents alike.
Right, that was good. Mark's in the doggy-doo-doo land of Europe, Gay Parry.
Hello there. Yes, it's actually quite nice weather, although the forecast is generally extremely poor and we have been having a lot of rain. They're all brewing up for election fever. The first round of the elections, with Sarkozy trying to get his second term, is next Sunday. Ooh. I don't really follow it, actually. I think it's very boring. Hello, everybody.
How's the Consumer Action Group doing?
And the Consumer Action Group, I think, is doing very well. We don't have any crises going on at the moment, which is quite good.
That means you're not beating anybody up at the moment.
Well, yeah, that's true. That's true.
Duty.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. We ought to be trying a little harder.
Exactly.
I don't know. We've been doing some stuff on this Apple. Have you heard of this business about Apple apps being on sale? Now, yes. I didn't know this. And this is just amazing to me because I kept on wondering how come I get... Because my son uses my Apple account, which I opened simply so he could get a few apps on his iPhone. And every now and then, even though I'm sure I haven't put in the password recently, I start getting invoices for the apps which he's bought. And I've just discovered on the news that apparently once you put in your password, there's then a 15-minute window where your kids can go and buy anything they want on your account.
Ah, but if you're smart, Mark... Oh, by the way,
I wish I was.
In a second, but let me just say hi to the guys at Talk Radio X, Replay Radio, you folks on Audio Boo, and, of course, the lovely folks on RTI. Answer to your question, you can still open an Apple account without a credit card. You don't have to put your credit card details in, and therefore, if young Sam wants to buy extremely expensive game, it won't let it go through.
Oh, right. Well, I didn't know that. And, of course, there's a court case in the United States at the moment where apparently a load of parents have begun a class action against Apple on exactly this point.
Yep.
And I was asked, I think yesterday or the day before on the Daily Mail, what I thought about it. And I said, well, I don't think we need a class action here. Contracts made by minors less than 18 years of age in the United Kingdom just simply aren't binding.
Of course.
I think that parents could simply go to county court and get their money back very easily. I'm waiting to see somebody try it.
I would have thought so. But if you look at my iPhone, I can assure you the account has no credit card details whatsoever. I don't intend to buy anything from it. And unless it's free, I'm not using it.
Well, that's because you're under 18.
Isn't it, ladies and gentlemen?
Right, let's move on. Aw, Burt Whedon's died.
He did.
I know. How sad's that?
He was a genius.
Well, he was a bit of a plinkety plonketer, wasn't he, really, on his guitar? But he was... that's how he could learn to play in a day, by following his edicts.
Well, he did look a bit middle of the road the way he... Well, in fact, he dressed rather like you, Lee.
Well, he was a man of his time, come on.
Did you get that silence, ladies and gentlemen?
Well, he looked like a man from the 50s, didn't he?
In the 50s,
yeah,
he did.
Silence, ladies and gentlemen.
But, okay then, come on, challenge. Give me the title of one of Bert's tracks.
Well, it was, what was it called? Guitar, shimmying guitar blues lady. Get the
something
girl.
Yes. Although later on in years, he did do quite a lot of collaborations with other guitarists as well, didn't he?
He did. The thing was, who came first, him or Hank Marvin? Because they both played exactly the same tune all the time.
No, they did not.
Yes, they did.
No, they did not.
And Eric Clapton as well, old slow hand.
No.
Old soul, low hand, so slow.
Excuse me, the Shadows, especially when you get to... couple of the duets that came out from them as well were absolutely stonking. but I can't say the same of Bert Whedon.
Bert Whedon was just the star. He used to be on children's programmes, didn't he? And
the,
he is.
The Des O'Connor show.
Yeah, children's programme. Yeah, we're not taking the mickey out of him, really. He's not being rude about him, but he wasn't a rock and roll star, was he? And he wasn't the world's greatest guitarist, and he wasn't somebody who changed the face. But he did change the face of rock and roll. Of course he did. Course. He was one of the doyens of rock. Of course he did. Everybody from Eric Clapton to whoever else learned to play
because of Bert Whedon. Absolutely, that's what he changed.
That's right. That's reverential, then.
We've got loads of people dying this week.
Levon
Helm as well.
Levon Helm, from the band. He's gone into the long black veil. Yeah, that is a tragedy. He was 71 and he's had cancer for decades.
Yeah. Didn't the band do some of the soundtrack to Born to be Wild? The film?
They did all sorts, yeah. The band are were a very tragic band. I think there's only two of them left now. There's Robbie Robertson and the big fat guy with the beard who can't remember, Garth Hudson.
I genuinely think they did a couple of tracks like "Don't Bogart That Joint, My Friend" from Born to Be Wild.
Did they do that one?
I think they did.
I don't think that
was
them.
Pass it over to me.
Yeah,
they were famous for doing a lot of Dylan songs like "I Shall Be Released" and stuff like that. But they also did some really. They were the first real deep South country rock music band, although they were from Canada. And they used to be the backing band of all sorts of really famous people. And then they really came to fame in 65, 66 when they toured with Dylan. And then they toured again with him in 74.
Have you noticed this week, boys and girls, have you noticed that I was very busy, so I asked Lee to put the running order together. And right at the top, it's Bob Dylan.
And down the bottom as well.
Oh, my word.
I'm in favour of that. I'm in favour of that. I think.
Oh, don't you two gang up on me this week.
I'm not ganging up, Eric.
You are.
We're just giving credit where credit is due, actually.
Is there any credit?
I've got Bob Dylan's phone number in my phone, actually.
Oh, God.
Oh, really? Does he answer?
Obviously.
Yeah, he probably sees who it is and doesn't answer.
He goes, no, I'm not answering that. the flautist from Men at Work, Greg Hamm, has also died.
Yeah, absolutely amazing.
Bit of a mystery about his death, really, as well. He was 58 years old, and nobody's really come out and said what's happened to him.
We'll be hearing soon, I imagine.
Bit of a mystery attached to that. But poor old good player. One of the stars of Australia. Not many come out of Australia.
Well, no, because most of the time they're sent down there, not coming out.
Yeah.
That's right, eh?
You had to think about that for a minute, didn't you?
I thought of all things.
Yeah. And also Dick Clark, aged 82, has died.
And as the headline says, so long, Dick, and it had nothing to do with his appendage. Did you know who he was, Dick Clark?
Yes. Famous television bloke.
He was, yeah. American Bandstand and things like that. Do you remember that? American Bandstand.
I don't remember the programme per se, but I do know of him because he's such a famous guy in America.
It was after my time, actually.
After your time.
Fine, you have to go to bed at 10.
Oh, dear. and he was very famous for bringing even modern-day stars to the media, mass markets as well.
Buddy Holly, Michael Jackson, Madonna, all of them.
Yeah, he was a sort of modern-day version of, what's his name, the guy that talks with a lisp.
Jonathan Ross.
Yes, Jonathan Ross. He was sort of the older version of Jonathan Ross in the USA.
That's right.
And he was a bit, how do we put it, raucous at times?
He was one of those...
Bit edgy.
He was sort of the precursor, I think, of the shock jock on TV.
Yes.
That bloke in England.
Yeah.
James Whale.
Yeah.
People like that took a lead off him, didn't they?
Yeah, I remember James Whale because he was on Sky News this morning. No other reason. Yeah, he was.
How's he doing?
Well, he looked all right this morning. He was reading the news app, being abusive as always.
He's been a bit poorly, hasn't he, the poor love?
Well, he had cancer and now he's in remission and he's now a great stalwart of cancer charities.
He is good. He's a good egg, is James Whale, and he was a good, impressive performer, just like old Dick was.
And he's on the best radio station in London, LBC 97.3.
London's
big complication. Can you say that one again?
LBC 97.3. do you want me to do the phone number? I can still remember. Anyway, Olympic torch has been tested to see if it can survive the British weather. No
well,
chance.
Isn't that a bit strange, eh? It's been tested to see if it could withstand temperatures of between minus 5 degrees centigrade and up to 40 degrees centigrade. That's how hot it's going to get over
They're
here.
They're dreaming. They're dreaming.
Yeah.
Apparently, to keep on going. apparently, to keep on going, it has to keep on going when tilted at 90 degrees and 45 degrees either way. And that's enough about Lee.
Yes. on the way back from the pub last night, I know that feeling.
Yeah, I just want
to do a drop test as well. You know, to stop it.
They should get the test sponsored by Heinz Baked Beans.
What's that? Blow it up.
No, Heinz Baked Beans. Never mind.
I said it did try and blow it out. That was my joke. You don't get it.
I was thinking of Blazing Saddles at the time, but that's another story.
No.
Out. No. Oh, no.
You wouldn't want to be horizontal doing that, would you? On your.
there is
too much like getting your own back.
There is something just come out, you know, which I think is quite amazing.
Well, we don't want to know about that.
Olympic torch. Yeah, it's just been announced that the Olympic torch is also going to be carried through the capital of Romania. Or Dover, as it's known for locals.
Oh, don't. No, don't. There's a mate of mine, it's got a sort of convenience store in Dover. And he's now making a fortune because of all the Polish community. He's one of the first places to stock Polish food.
Really? Well, funny enough, actually, I must say.
Yeah, good on
you. My first flat, when I got married the first time to my lovely Italian ex-wife.
Yeah, we've heard this bit.
Was this the first Italian wife?
My first Italian wife, yeah. We actually lived over a Polish delicatessen in Prestwich in Manchester.
Really?
And it was lovely. Yeah, the smells of the food. We used to feed ourselves out the shop. And it was just fabulous. I love Polish food. And Polish girl. And I like Polish men. Not in the same way.
Yeah. Anyway, the water is too wet for our firemen. What?
Oh, no. Is this not the most ludicrous story of the week or the year or the thing? Can you tell? I'm trying to find it.
Decade.
Yeah, 25 firemen went. This is a true story, everybody. Yeah, right. 25 firemen went to rescue a drowning seagull. And when they got there, they realised that it was stuck in 3 feet of water. And it was too dangerous for the poor loves to go and rescue it. This is in South London in the UK in the year 2012. First of all, what were the fire brigade going out to do to rescue a seagull? And then what were 25 of them doing being too scared to go paddling?
Health and safety.
Health and safety gone insane. Mm. And you know what? Probably is the worst part of this to me. This has to be the quote of the week, as far as I'm concerned. Right, all these firemen are standing there by the side of the water. Ooh, can't go in there, lads, look at that. No, you might drown in that, you know. Yeah, the pigeons out there, the seagull. And you know what the fire brigade said?
No.
We're not willing to put the lives of our firefighters at risk for the sake of a seagull. That's the quote of the fire brigade. Well, I quite agree with them. Why should you put your firefighters' lives at risk for the sake of a seagull? But it was 3 foot of water!
Do you know, Lee, a mate of mine goes to the NEC in Birmingham quite a lot with his replica of a Dalek. And the purpose for going is to raise money for charity.
Yeah.
That's it. So he even pays for his own petrol to go from Norwich to Birmingham to go around these different stands and raise money for children's charities. Yeah. Not this time round. Now he has to go to health and safety meetings before he gets there.
Why?
Well, I suppose, you know, the Dalek might take off and fight with Doctor Who or something.
These kind of things are really shocking, I have to say. But, you know, in a way, maybe you can say, all right, well, you know, maybe they don't know what the conditions are like and there's only a seagull. But I have to say that I'm reminded of a story which happened in 2007 where two police officers were stood on the side of a pond and watched a boy drown because they hadn't been trained to go into water. And that is just an amazing story. And so when we carry over what's happening here in respect to the seagull to really quite more extreme, quite more dramatic, and quite more tragic things, really somebody needs their head knocking, I think.
Exactly.
Make you worry, yeah.
As Lee knows, when you come to Slovakia, boys and girls, you have a duty to do. If it is that mum has got a toddler running in advance of her and she can't catch up because she's pulling the pram and there's a set of stairs looming, it's your job as a citizen to pick little child up and take it back to mummy. There is no inference in the fact you're picking child up of any sort. Yeah. And in fact, you're chastised if you don't pick up child. There's none of all this PC correctness malarkey. Yeah. The bottom line is it's there to fix an issue which is common sense. Yeah. And common sense prevails over here. It's a shame it doesn't prevail in the UK anymore.
Well, I think what you've got to do really is maybe not blame the individuals, but look at the systems that have taken us there. I mean, to one hand, you've got to look at the paedophiles.
Who seem
to come from all over the place and make everybody frightened now of being accused. Yeah. And also, you've got to look at the systems which allow people to be accused. I mean, did I just read recently about some... poor man who was made to live away from his children. That's right, yes. Wasn't it very recently a man who discovered he bought a second-hand computer or he got the computer back from the shop or something like that. He found pornographic images on it. He went to the police, showed it to the police, and the next thing he knew, he had the welfare people around, and he was excluded and banned from living with his own home and away from his children, and wasn't able to see his own children without supervision for something like 18 months. How does this promote anybody to do the right thing?
No, it doesn't at all. It does not. I quite agree with you.
One quick one on that, which Eric's aware of. We did sort of touch on. Like Eric said, I did a piece for a chat magazine, which is coming out in 3 weeks' time. And that's based on the same thing about a vicar in the village of the damned, ladies and gentlemen, may I say, who was hounded by villagers for photographing children on the beach on a parish holiday. He was a camera buff, and all he did, with all the parents around him, as the children ran towards the sea, he took a photograph of them. He ended up hanging himself. That's how insane this country's gone.
Can't believe it. Bahrain is on a bit of a panic. I know that Team India have already left Bahrain because they don't want to race there this weekend. What's the latest news, Lee?
Well, basically, the British government has called for the race to be called off, and that our team should pull out of it. The Formula One should cancel it because of all the trouble that's gone over there. And it's the way that the Bahrainians have started to capitalise on all the horror and all the agony that's going over there, and started to ban British news reporters. Now, everybody
They've banned film crews this morning.
And that ain't really just because they're trying to hide something. That is just a massive publicity stunt. And people have got to have the right to protest about what they see as the wrongdoing in their country.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, gentlemen, but during the days of apartheid in South Africa, sporting things did not take place on an international level in South Africa. Am I right?
That's right.
So, what we doubt it here is, you know, that whatever the government says, and incidentally, the government shouldn't just be calling for the race to be called off. In a way, it's not really their business. They would be putting pressure on the British team to remove themselves. And in fact, the British team ought to have the morality to remove themselves, and who cares? Let them remove themselves, and who cares whether they're in the race or not? They can be prouder out of it than in of it.
Force India have already pulled out. They've taken the team home.
Congratulations for them. They've
shown
a
lead. You know what? What's wrong with that? Because if you remember when I was in India last year, we went to Formula One. And as we went to Formula One, they'd build a special road right through to the new track, the stadium for Formula One, if that's what you call them. The racetrack stadium, and living underneath the road were families, whole families, farmlands, where they'd just built across the heads of the people.
Where they displaced them, absolutely.
Yeah, they displaced them all, just so that they could hold the Formula One race. Yeah. And India was absolutely 100% complicit in that happening, and even then, the Formula One races from England and everybody who still attended it. That was as much a crime and something like Mark has just said that morally should have been pulled out because of as this is. It is despicable that Formula One almost sanctions by their actions these kind of things.
Where do they get this clout from, the Formula One? What is it about
money?
Is it really just media money? I mean, it's shocking.
In all fairness,
Formula One is the most boring thing you can ever attend.
No, it's not. You can go to the vets later. The fact with Formula One is that there is huge amounts of money in it, which is hence why people sponsor it. The television rights around the world weren't terribly good until Mr. Ecclestone got hold of them and got a lot of money for it. But in his defence, a lot of it does go back into the sport as well. And since that time, they have improved the safety. So on one hand, it's bad. On the other hand, it's good. But irrespective of that, if you could see a Formula One contract like the one for the Bahrain GP, it goes into almost cutting down a rainforest for the clauses, the different problems you have with it, the costings, because don't forget it costs hundreds of thousands of pounds just to fly a team to race there.
I think it gives such moral support to a corrupt and disgusting regime.
Yes,
that really is probably not very far away from the Syrians. I mean, you know, the Bahrainis are sort of lucky in a way that they're just sort of being supported, and so far they're able to do it more subtly. Yeah. But if things get really out of hand in Bahrain in the way they have done in Syria, I can imagine that unless they're very smart, the Bahrainis will end up following the sort of the Syrian lead.
Yes,
I think we ought to be boycotting them. And really, you know, F1 should hold its head in shame.
Absolutely.
I agree.
Petrol has hit a new high as even though the crude has fallen down, the crude is the sort of rough stuff before you get the petrol and the diesel from it.
Yeah.
That's gone down, and yet prices are going up, not just in the UK. Last night on the television, we were looking at the cost of diesel going up in Slovakia to the most ludicrous prices.
How much?
I'll check. I think it was €1.42 a litre for diesel.
So what's that in real money? That is real money.
That's about £1.10.
Yeah, something like that. That's for diesel.
Well, diesel over here in the UK, you can add another 45 pence onto that. Another, half a euro at least.
Crikey, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. But in most of Europe, diesel has always been cheaper than petrol.
Yes.
In the United Kingdom, diesel is more expensive than petrol, I think.
And you know why? You know why, don't you?
No, I don't actually. I've always wondered about it.
It's dead simple. Because as we both know, I mean, we all know, sorry, I discounted one of us, it must have been me, right? I've just bought a diesel car. My equivalent car did 40 miles to the gallon, this does 60 miles to the gallon. So they were getting less revenue because the cars were going further on diesel, so they put the price of diesel up.
No, they taxed it more.
That's what I mean.
There are two types of diesel in the UK.
Is the tax separate? Is the tax...
Yes, there are two types of
to the government.
There's two types of taxation in the UK, and this is a warning in case you think I'll get some cheap diesel from somewhere.
I know all about this, living in a country area.
Yes,
you're quite right.
Yes, the agricultural vehicles have a different taxation regime on their diesel, but they have a dye in it, and if you put that into your car, it stays.
That's what
with
killed that seagull.
Probably.
So everything red.
The red dye within the diesel can then be checked by the traffic people, and you can get nicked for having the wrong diesel in your car. And
you know what happens to you?
What?
You get fined, I think it's £1,000. They take your car off you and they whip your children.
Well, not the latter. But it is a very growing crime whereby...
This is Britain I'm
these,
talking about.
Where they people set up temporary stations and they will sell... agricultural diesel at sort of a compromised middle price, making it look incredibly cheap. And they're there for a couple of weeks, then they shoot off to somewhere else. Yeah. And you shouldn't buy from these places because you could get a massive fine. So
it really is a big fine.
Yeah, absolutely. So just be a bit sensible, boys and girls, because it looks good on the front end. But also a lot of companies who have... their own petrol pumps, and one of them used to be BT, where they used to colour their petrol with a yellow dye. so nobody could nick it.
Oh, really?
That's what they said.
That's what they did.
It wasn't. That's what. Why it was yellow. Petrol's gone up. Petrol's gone up by 15% in less than a year in Britain.
15%. Right.
Wages haven't gone up by 15%.
What's the up?
Nothing's
gone up
by
15%.
Hey?
What's the up on wages?
Well, they haven't really gone up. It's about 1%, isn't it?
Oh,
it's gone up at all.
Anyway, last story of part one. Iron Man Mervyn is a tyrant, says Money Boss.
I think this is lovely. I think it's about time the truth came out about the man who ruined the world.
It wasn't his fault.
It wasn't my fault.
Well, it wasn't his fault either. Come on, Mark, this is your area.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, it's interesting to hear this. I mean, in a way, these figures are sort of so anonymous, really. One doesn't really know very much about them until you hear this kind of thing. But I've heard this. I haven't heard anybody say opposite, but we'll have to wait. I wonder why this is all suddenly coming out now.
Hmm.
Well, the reason it's coming out is because he's about to retire, isn't he? And the, what's he called, Mark Carney, the Bank of Canada governor, is being earmarked for his job.
Oh, just doing very well, hang on. Actually, I just thought there's a lot of people probably don't know what the hell we're talking about.
Mark just pulls up for that.
The current governor of the Bank of England is due to retire. And there's now a bun fight.
He's made his money now, ladies and gentlemen. He's quite well off.
There's now a bun fight between a whole bunch of people who think that they should be the new boss of the Bank of England, one of whom is John Varley, of all people. Can you believe that?
Who's John Varley? He's not on my list.
The ex-boss of Barclays.
That's right. It's actually some bank bosses. I mean, real shame. I mean, if they really want, if they really want sort of, you know, to preserve the reputation of this organisation, which at the end of the day is meant to be deciding a sort of policy in order to save the whole country, I think the last thing they want to do is start bringing in the bankers in who brought it all down in the first place. Very silly.
I'll have to bow to your knowledge, Mark. Wasn't John Varley at Barclays Bank at the beginning of it all falling to pieces around the world?
I've lost count. I can't remember because I think there have been two or three changes, really.
Yeah, lots recently. But it does seem funny how you'd put people, maybe, from banks that were involved in the worldwide crash in charge of the Bank of England when they're trying to get out of it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, these people have got practical banking experience. I mean, you know, the Bank of England is not a practical... sort of working bank, if you like. I mean, it's almost sort of intellectual organisation. Yes, I mean, it handles banking, but at the end of the day, it's not in the business of making profits. And people who've been headed up banks, particularly, of course, the ones that created the economic crisis. But anyway, these people run banks because presumably they know how to run banking to make profits. The Bank of England is something completely different. Mm. And you're looking for, you know, really superior intellect and tremendous understanding of monetary policy and of economics. And I don't think it necessarily means that ex-bank bosses are the right people.
Exactly. We've got to leave it there at part one of Postcard from Poprad for another week, boys and girls. Enjoy that milkshake, cup of tea, or even a cup of coffee if you're drinking like I am right now. We'll be back very, very soon.
From the heart of Europe to the world, RTI.